Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network. Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys Small Screen Scares, a mini-series where three cowardly friends discuss horror television. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watch The Haunting of Hill House, Episode 10, Silence Lay Steadily. We're here.
Fuck.
We're alive.
We're alive.
Well done, boys. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah. It was touch and go.
Yeah, it really was.
You roll into episode 5 and you're like, take me now, Jesus.
Yeah. Take me, bent neck lady.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I'll ever say that, but...
No, cuddle me in.
You get to episode 8 and you're like, oh, is the heart still working? It is. Oh, no.
Barely.
Yeah. Episode 10 gets the heart pumping again.
Fuck. Yeah. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
It wraps everything up so nicely. It fills in like there's not many gaps left.
No.
All the gaps have been filled sort of with episode 9.
Mm.
But then you just get like, all right, so how do we wrap this all up and how do we get these last little beats of what sort of happened?
The only real gap is the 3 hours, I guess, that Hugh was there before he called the police.
That's true, yeah.
They kind of do cover that because I assume the 3 hours is them burying Abigail.
Yeah.
Right.
And him dealing with the Dudleys.
The Dudleys,
and
yeah.
Like, yeah. Please they're like, keep this place alive. Yeah,
sort of. We won't tell anyone. We won't all that kind of stuff, which is, that is a heartbreaking
thing. Oh, it's horrible.
They're prepared to just be like, we don't care. She'll be alive if she's still here.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, we get it.
It's, yeah. This episode is all heart, and obviously for the Crane family, we get a lot of heart from them. We get their final story, but the Dudley story and the way it wrapped up, one, I just didn't see it coming. I thought it was gorgeous. Like,
same.
It's just such a positive thing from these characters we were always a bit unsure about. And obviously we saw they suffered the greatest loss in the last episode.
Twice,
no less, yeah. And it also humanizes Hugh hugely. He's done everything, and it's not even for a member of his own family. It's obviously something that his family, his wife, caused, so I guess there's a bit of guilt there, but that's a huge thing to do, to keep this monster alive that he knows wants to feed on his family. They are the unfinished meal, but he's doing it so his neighbours keep a part of their daughter alive. Like, yep. That's fantastic.
That's one thing I've talked about, like, how much I love this show. I think it is one of the best pieces of tape I've ever seen. But I do have a weird... Something about that jars with me a bit. The idea that it's like, oh, they kind of, the Dudleys get reunited and Hugh gets reunited. It's like, yeah, but the house still fucks you up. Like, the house is still feeding on them.
Are you bothered by the fact that the house wins?
Yeah.
Right.
The house wins. Mm. And you also can't destroy the house because destroying the house will destroy, it just has to stay there forever.
Yeah.
And it will stay there forever. And I get it and I understand it and it works and it's poetic and it fits and it's beautiful and all of that. But it feels like it's not this, like, that final scene where Mr. Dudley carries Mrs. Dudley, lays her down when she's dying, and then she's up on the stairs with the kids, and it's like, oh, yeah, his family's alive.
Yeah.
In a house that takes people and turns them wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, right, there are ghosts in the house, and you can kind of have that ghost thing, but it's like, there's still a part of them that's it's not right.
So watching that, I love the Dudley scene where he brings his wife back.
Yeah.
And the music's great and the performance.
Yeah.
And I was nearly crying. I was like, this is fucking
for
beautiful.
Sure. Yeah,
this is so great. And then I got to the end, but I also did have that thought, Tom. I'm like, but so you can't beat the house.
Nope. House always wins.
Yeah.
Here's my thought on that. And maybe it's the optimist in me. Maybe it's me being a bit too Ted Lasso. But to me, the house is a monster because of all the ghosts that live in it. And the fact that all the ghosts are these messed up people. They were messed up in real life as spirits. They're made worse. So to me, the house is almost like all of them combined into this one manifestation. if we get some nicer ghosts in there, can it help even this house out? Can it help recorrect the monster into just being another house? I don't know.
I don't think so. I'm probably, let's be honest,
I know that's not the case. But this is Flanagan. This is horror. Yeah. It's beautiful, but it's also tragic. The whole series has been beautiful and tragic. I know I'm deluding myself, but part of me also wants to believe that.
No, look, I get that, but I think sadly, we just know that's not the case because of the narration that you get from Steve's new book, which is about him going
back.
Yeah,
okay.
And he literally talks about how Hill House, not sane, like that.
It is
what it is. They will always be there forever, and at least they're together.
Mm.
You know, Nell is with her mum and her dad again. They're all kind of reunited. The Dudleys, let's call them the Dursleys. Very different family.
Yeah.
The Dudleys are reunited, and so there is a bittersweetness in that.
Mm.
And I guess the hope you get is that at the end of the ordeal that the family go through, the four living cranes, while still touched and impacted by what happened to them, are better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you get that nice little epilogue at the end.
Yes.
But we're getting ahead because we've got to talk about some of the things you learn in this.
I am hopeful, though, at the end of it, just because of Stephen's words. So he reuses that fear. We can fight it or yield to it, but can't meet it halfway, and he changes it to love.
Yeah.
And then you also have that it's quite a nice thing to end on. The idea that the spirits who walk in the house walk together.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's also, the more you think about it, the more you're like, yeah, like the bad thing won, but there's good within the bad thing.
It didn't completely win because there is a point in the last episode where it has all five kids.
Yep.
Mm.
And it doesn't get any more of them.
Yeah.
Hugh makes one last sacrifice for his family.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a nice thing. It's a very unnerving shot, though.
Oh, yeah.
So they hug the three that are remaining in the house as the door kind of closes, Godfather style, as Steve's watching this. Nell and Hugh are embraced in the hug, and Olivia's hugging, but her eyes don't blink, and she just watches Steve as the door closes. And it's almost like a see you soon sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's always part of Olivia. Like, Hugh and Nell are like, because Nell saves their lives.
Definitely, yeah.
So does Hugh. Whereas there's always that part of Olivia that's like, yes, she's got Nell, and yes, she's got Hugh.
She wants them all. She'll never not want them all. Yeah.
And they will never not be traumatized by what they went through.
Right.
But they're moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to dive into the guts of it though.
Yeah, please.
The sequence when the house has got them all and you see just the fact that it opens with Steve writing the book and you're like, oh, cool.
Yes.
And then like the first time I watched it, it took me a while to clock that Lee was pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. Oh. That's...
It's like the start of the scene, man. She's got the Maccas. She's got the chippies going.
Yeah, but like, because she's pregnant for a while. You see her in the background pregnant. And it's not until he then says, oh, you're pregnant. But you notice it straight away. But I just didn't sort of tweak that. I'm like, I was kind of confused. Like, what's he... Oh, so he got out and this is him writing about him and he's going near the house. And then you're like, it's the bit when he's... It's so well done when he takes off his glasses because he can't get to the next part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You go into the house and then what happened? And then he's like... trying to find the words, and then you get that fucking awful sequence where her head rolls back and her stomach stretches.
Oh, it's terrible.
That's just fucking awful.
And like, but it, like, is it because I start the episode going, okay, somehow we're getting the epilogue early. That seems like an odd choice. And obviously, the pregnancy thing, you're like, did he get a, I guess he could get a
vasectomy reversed. A vasectomy, yeah.
Yeah. And then, and like, it almost feels like it should be obvious, but done well enough that you're like, again, and for stupid hopeful me.
Yeah.
And then you're like, he's still in the house.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Still got him.
Yep. Of course he is.
He's an unfinished meal. That's finishing the meal.
Yeah.
Steve's been a cunt for the whole series, but I wouldn't say I like him, but I don't hate him.
He redeems himself somewhat.
He does, and it's because he embraces the fact that I've seen ghosts my entire life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he can actually have that conversation with his wife at the end, and she can acknowledge, he's been fucked up his whole life.
Yeah.
The same as his siblings have.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that trauma, and while he's been an absolute cunt to her, it's, I don't know, you can see it from his point of view.
He completes
his arc. I can understand in your damaged way why you've done that.
Yes. Yeah.
And good on her for also being like, I get that, and I can forgive you.
Right. I mean, like, it's going back to if the children of the five stages of grief and he was denial.
Yeah.
He stops denying it.
Yeah.
Well, they all kind of accept. They stop pretending they're okay. They are freed by Nell from the grips of the house and the grips of everything. And she's so good when she pops up in those nightmares and it's just like, whoop, pulls them out of it.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that. So let's talk about the Red Room reveal.
Oh, it's so powerful.
So did you boys have any inkling of this?
That the kids were experiencing different red rooms.
That we, even the audience, had seen the Red Room multiple times.
Do you learn that now, or do you learn that earlier? Theo's been in the Red Room.
Oh, no. I think you learn it here.
I think it's this episode.
I don't really think they give you a reason to believe that until...
Mm.
Unless you cotton onto Mrs. Dudley's weird reaction to hearing about a room she doesn't know exists. And then you kind of go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
The treehouse one I would have never got.
No.
The window is... such a great way to do it. It's there, but you would never clock it.
Yeah.
Who's clocking the shape and style of a window?
Yeah. It's one of those things in hindsight, you're like, how come I always see these so many different rooms?
Yes. Yes.
It's a big house though.
Yeah. That's the thing. The house is big. We don't know. Oh. So why would you?
We see the blueprint so many times, it's never the blueprint. It's crazy.
And she even says the blueprint's really hard too because there's so many blueprints.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then she draws that fucking horrific blueprint where she draws the forever house in every single room.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be their forever house.
So on top of the window, I also was reading, which I didn't clock in watching it, but each of the rooms has a fairly clear red item. I was about
to say, there's something red in every room.
Yeah, yeah. So for Luke's treehouse, there's a red truck and it has a red door.
Yep.
Steve's game room has the red beanbag. Olivia's reading room has the red chair. Shirley's family room has the red blanket. And Theo's dance studio has red numbers on the TV. So it's pretty subtle, let's be honest.
Yeah, there's something red in every one. And what's Nell's little room?
Toy room, and it's got a red chest.
That's right, red chest where she gets the toys out.
The shot of Shirl's family room, and it's like her crying as she's looking at a photo album. Fuck, that hurt.
It breaks you, doesn't it?
Her and Luke's are the most subtle, because I didn't even realize she's in it when she's with the kittens, that they're in another room. I just assume it's her bedroom.
Yeah, me too.
It's not until you see it back at the end, you're like, oh no, she wasn't ever in the bedroom.
Theo's is probably the one where you should have been like, oh, that's a different room. But why would you? Because you just think the house has got heaps of rooms.
Yeah.
And also they, you know, talk about how big it is and how they're going to keep, you know, away from one another.
Yeah.
It all kind of tracks, and it's such a nice reveal, and it's done. And I've talked about this, I think, the entire time we've been talking about this show, whenever we finished recording, rewatching it, one of my most favorite beautiful beats is when they all get pulled out of their red room. They're saving Luke, basically. He's got the rat poison in his arm.
Yeah.
That beat where, so Nell is just walking around the red room with them, the ghost of Nell, and she's just talking nonsense.
Yep.
Just saying things, and you're like, what is happening? And Theo and Steve are talking about how to get out, and she's just sitting on the ground bewildered and just quietly says to herself, I've been here before. Yeah. I think I've been here before. And all of the nonsense that Nell has been talking, she's like glassy-eyed, staring ahead. She just laser-like focuses in on Shirl, and all of the nonsense just is in order, and she does that. We all have.
Yeah. Clicks into place.
It just clicks into place, and she's like, sorry, it's been hard.
The time thing, yeah.
Time's been hard for me, but everything's a bit clearer now. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's so good. And she explains to them, you know, this is the way it works. I've been experiencing time, like snow falling. It's just so good.
Yeah.
And then, the beautiful line of the rest is confetti.
Yeah, the confetti line is great. There's just fucked things. Like she talks about how she's a little creature in the belly of a beast.
Yes.
In the house.
You keep still.
Yeah.
See, then that's why the ending of them choosing, like, and I guess they don't choose to stay there. It's just Phew makes the sacrifice to let his kids go. It actually is a big sacrifice, but they are creatures in the belly of a beast. And if they keep still for long enough, maybe the creature won't swallow them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the idea of the red room becomes whatever it needs to be to help it digest the kids.
Yeah. It's so sinister and it's just so terrifying and big. And like, it feels like if you were trapped in that situation, there'd be so little chance of getting out of it. Like, this thing has you at every turn.
Yeah.
What's nice too is that each of the kids gets like their own little hell. Steve thinks that he's been able to move on. It gives him that. Theo's one is that she's just being touched by 1,000 arms, which is awful.
Oof, yeah, that was gross.
But But Cheryl's one is the most interesting because you finally get an answer as to who that guy who she's seeing cheersing her.
Yeah.
You're like, is it a ghost? Is it the first person she buried? Is it? Nope, it's that great thing of she had an affair years ago. The kids were young. She cheated on her husband.
Yep. And again, I love it goes straight back to, again, Steve's comments in the first episode of what is a ghost? That was never actually a ghost in the way the other ghosts are ghosts. This is just regret.
Yep.
This is just something she's held on to. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that, and I love the way they do that one too. It's the least like creepy. Like there's no like creepy, big creepy reveal. It's just that bit where in the memory she clocks the ring and goes, oh, I'm going to go back to my room. And he just looks at her and goes, but you didn't say that.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, it's so good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think I love Cheryl.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Big ending for Cheryl.
Big ending for Cheryl.
They all come good.
Theo throwing her gloves in the bin.
That's a big move.
That was great.
They're letting someone else,
Luke,
be with her.
2 years sober.
Yeah. The epilogue is...
It's powerful. And I love the Gregory Alan Isakov song. It fucking kills me.
Huge. Yeah.
It's great. And it actually just fits perfectly what they're doing with the ending.
Yeah. And like we've talked about this before, but you need that epilogue.
Yeah.
You need to give your audience a beat of the reward.
Yeah.
Like that is the reward. Not enough to say they won the day.
Yeah. Hugh's sacrifice was worth it.
Yes.
Hugh's sacrifice was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nell's death was worth it. Well, not worth it, but it wasn't for nothing.
Yeah. And like you could go, oh, but the audience will figure that out. They'll know they're okay now. Yeah. No, we need to see it. Not for long, real quick, you know.
But also, they're not necessarily like it doesn't go, everything is fine.
No.
It's like there's still stuff to get through, but they overcome the thing that has been holding them back since the first time you meet them in episode one is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've read a couple of reviews that were critical on the ending because they think it was too happy, too hopeful for a horror thing. They wanted like something more savage, but it's kind of like, I don't think you watched, this is the kind of the perfect ending for the 10 episodes of this series that we got.
Yes.
A different show, you could have a more savage.
Oh yeah. You could have a savage ending and we would come away with a bad taste, but we come away, even though fucking horrible things happened in this episode and it's deeply, deeply sad.
Yeah.
Still come away with hope.
Right, because again, this has been, like we've said from the start, it's been equal parts horror and family drama.
Yeah.
So this is paying honor and creed to that family drama side of it.
Yeah.
And to then to give up on that and go, now it's all horror. Actually, it's 100% horror and we're just going to give you a horror ending. Yeah, it's not right for this series.
Yeah.
You still get a horror ending. There are ghosts. Yes. The house wins.
Yeah.
You digest three
of them.
Particularly like the episode 9 and 10, the heartbreak far outweighs the horror.
Yeah.
You're not really spooked. There aren't big spooks in the last two episodes.
No. Yeah.
There's obviously the massive one in 8.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, I mean, we've talked about it from episode 5 onwards. It's far more the balance is family heartbreak.
Yeah.
And even that beautiful beat where, again, in the same way that Stephen never told them that he saw a ghost that night, he doesn't. As they're getting out of the car, he clocks the dad is dead.
Yeah.
Mm. Looks at the dad, doesn't say anything. He's like, why didn't you tell? Like that beautiful bit where then when
I said, good of you not to. It was probably good that you didn't tell them.
Yeah. It's just so nice. And then young Hugh gets that amazing bit where he discovers Olivia's body and just is inconsolable. And just when he's talking about what he's going to do to the house, I will burn it to the ground. I will salt the earth so nothing will ever grow here again.
Yeah.
And they're like, yes, I understand that, but please don't.
Could you not, though?
And he has to fully be like, it's the least I can do.
Mm.
You're right, Domo. It's such a big call.
Yeah, it's huge, mate.
It's not even about his wife at that point.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's in not burning it, his kids are at risk.
Mm.
But in burning it, his kids find out the truth of their mother, basically.
Right.
It destroys the memory of their mum.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
Yeah. And again, it gives enough reason for why we've had 30 years of heartbreak.
Yeah.
You know?
Why none of them have ever been able to... None of them have ever been able to move on because they're still being digested.
It's still there. It's
still happening. Got them.
Yeah. I actually love Hugh's thing about he's the one standing in front of the door, arms outstretched, holding it shut.
Yeah.
I love the shot of Stephen walking out and it's just every ghost.
Yes.
And he's walking through them, basically.
Yeah.
I don't think he looks back, but he accepts it, obviously, and then just walks out because he's got to get on with his life.
Yeah.
It's a bit... He hesitates. He hot stops at the door and you think he's going to turn around, but then he just walks out because he's like... No, they're real, and I know they're real. I don't need to turn around and look at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so fucking powerful. And even one of my favorite bits around the rewatch is Cheryl telling, what's the husband's name?
Oh, I can't remember, but yeah, that's a great
scene. Her husband, she's cheating on him. And basically the way it's framed is beautiful, where she's like, you're going to have to love me harder than you've ever loved me before.
Yeah, I'm going to take a giant jump and I need you to hold me.
Yeah, again, that's the epitome of Cheryl's arc, you know? Yeah.
And then I think the dialogue sort of fades out and you just see him reach out with two hands and grab her, and it's great.
It's awesome. It's powerful.
Oh, what a show.
Yeah.
Mike Flanagan, you son of a bitch. Tell you what, this is why we do Scaredy Boys. Because every now and again, amongst all the as above, so belows, and fucking being scared shitless by The Conjuring, all that shit, you're going to get stuff where it's like horror wrapped in heart.
Huge heart. You know, one more thing I love about Hugh is just that thing where when he saw Olivia dead, he just wanted to die as well.
Yeah.
And the only thing that stopped him is he's the only thing protecting the kids now.
Yep.
And it's, oh man, it fucking hurts.
Yeah.
Mm.
You realize, like, Hugh is a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, big sacrifices on his end.
Far from perfect, but like...
Yes.
Yeah, made a lot of fuck-ups.
Did what he could.
Didn't raise any of the children.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's maybe one interesting thing is that Aunt Janet has no real presence in the whole thing. True. She's in the funeral scene.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't...
I guess she's not immediate family, so it doesn't matter to the house.
And also, she's never been part of the house. She's never been to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of going to the house, let's quickly wrap up with, I guess, our standard question of how would we do in this situation?
We'd be dead.
We're so dead.
Yeah, dead. I mean, dead. We're ghosts in the house now.
Yeah.
So for this one, let's say the three of us went in to renovate it.
We're
very
fucked.
Quickly dead.
Yeah, we just don't have the... It would seduce us so easily. We'd be like, basically, when the cranes eventually get there to, like, renovate the house, and, you know, Steve's talking to his dad, he's like, so weird, there's these three guys in this room recording a podcast.
That's our red room.
Yeah, the red room is just like, there's, like, all this soundproofing on the walls, and then just the window, and we're just recording podcasts forever.
Yeah.
In fact, boys, this podcast has been recorded from the red room. Yeah.
Every episode's got one of the ghosts as a guest.
It's a guest. Poppy, tell us about your screaming memes this week. Scaredy boys go legit. We start interviewing ghosts.
The tall man, his audio is pretty bad because he can't get down to the microphone.
It's one of those things where we then start working for the house because we run through, we run out of guests.
Yeah, right.
All the ghosts are gone and we're like, we need to get some more guests on. We start like bent neck lading people back to the house so that they can be killed, consumed by the house and then come on the podcast to talk about. So how do you feel now that you're dead?
You're like, hold on, you did that to get me on your podcast?
It's a pretty good podcast.
Ran out of guests.
New episodes every Friday.
Well, that is all the Scaredy Talk we have for this series. I have been Damien.
I've been Sean.
And I've been Tom.
If you Scared listeners would like to contact us, you can do so by emailing 3scaredboys@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter @ScaredyBoys. Or individually, I'm @MiddayPajamas.
I'm @Carney from 55.
I'm @AwkwardTrade.
Stay scared, everyone.
Deady dead dead. We're ghosts in the house now.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president. You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.